This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., speaking to you from the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church and inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
Hark, the jubilee is sounding. Oh, the joyful news is come. Free salvation is proclaimed in and through God's holy Son. Now we have complete redemption through the meek and lowly Lamb.
We've come now to the fifth Sunday of this month, and I remind you that on these months when we have five Sundays, that the expenses are greater, and so we hope you'll stand behind us and assist in making it possible for us to remain on your local station. The address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. I'd like to share a couple of letters from the Philippines. Dear Brother Bradley, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May this letter reach you well. I'm interested to receive your Baptist witness and other information about primitive Baptist doctrine and practices. May the sovereign God give you grace to share these resources. I appreciate your kind response. Another. I pray this letter finds you in good health, physically and rejoicing spiritually. I've been hearing your broadcast over our local radio station, and I'm much blessed for it because it really preaches of the faith once delivered unto the saints. I'm telling my brethren about it and friends, and they too are blessed. We're thankful for the opportunity of not only broadcasting the gospel here in the United States, but in the Philippines and in many other parts of the world. And I hope that you will pray for us in this outreach. We'd like very much to hear from you. Please mention the call letters of the station over which the program comes to you when writing. The address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a glorious message. It's the good news concerning his entrance in the world for the purpose of saving his people from their sins. If an individual has been convicted of his guilt and unworthiness before God, it certainly brings great comfort and hope. The apostle said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So those who know themselves to be sinners take great courage in hearing that salvation is by grace and that Jesus Christ completed the work that was before him, and that because of his sacrifice, vile, guilty sinners are washed and made clean in his precious blood. Now, sometimes as this gospel is preached, there are people who turn a deaf ear to it. Many resent it, want nothing to do with it. On the other hand, there are those whose hearts have been touched and made tender by the Holy Spirit that are hungering for it. Oh, it is good news to them, how they rejoice to hear the sweet message of the gospel. And when we consider the fact that there are those who do turn from it, it is particularly encouraging when we can experience those special events along the way, when the Lord is obviously at work and men are expressing a tremendous interest in hearing the gospel and are reaching out, wanting to know more about what God has done for them. We see such an example in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Verse 9 says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" Come over and help us. What an invitation. How encouraging that is when a gospel minister can see that the Lord is at work and there are people with hungry hearts desiring to hear the truth. They want to know what God says. They're not interested in having their itching ears satisfied. They're not interested in hearing the philosophies of men. They want to hear the truth of God. And they're saying, "Come over and help us." Thinking about that text, there are a few observations we want to make regarding it. And the first one is that the circulation of the gospel in the early church took place under the direction of the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul had in mind to preach the word in Asia, but it says in verse 6 that he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost. And then he decided to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Then he received this vision when a man of Macedonia says, "Come over and help us." The point being, these men, as they were traveling, laboring, preaching the gospel, were doing so because, of course, God had commanded it, but because the Spirit of God was further directing them and guiding them in their course. They were going because of the Lord's call. What was the response? Verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Now, they didn't say, "We're going to have some further evidence. We best wait on this thing. We need to give it time to see if this is the calling of God." When they were satisfied that the Lord had directed them, that the Spirit of God was guiding them to go, he says, "Immediately we endeavored to do it." We didn't say, "We're going to have to raise some funds. We're going to have to wait till somebody agrees to give us adequate help and assures us that they'll stand behind us." Immediately we endeavored to go. We're ready to go because we believe God's in the matter. You see, they were going under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Same thing can be seen back in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Here you find the Apostle Peter receiving a great vision of a sheet let down from heaven and various beasts in it. And the Lord said, "Arise and eat." Peter said, "That which is common or unclean hath not come into my mouth." Peter was living according to the regulations of the law, and he was not going to partake of any meat that was forbidden. So to hear that he was to eat was totally contrary to all of his thinking. Just can't do that. Verse 13 of Acts chapter 10, there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now get this. "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, Peter, it says, doubted in himself, wondering what the vision meant. But about that time, here come some men from the house of Cornelius, saying, "We're desirous to have you come to the house of Cornelius and bring the gospel." Oh, you can see God's work in the matter. Peter was trying to interpret what this all meant and was obviously at first somewhat confused by it. And yet, God had been working in the life of Cornelius, a Gentile. It said that he feared God and worked righteousness, and his prayers had come up before the Lord in an acceptable fashion. And God now is going to send additional light to this man that has a hungry heart. What was Peter doing? Peter was not conducting a conference on evangelism. Peter was not planning a preaching trip saying, "Where shall I go next time?" Peter didn't have a map in his hand trying to pinpoint where would be the most likely place to establish a church. As a matter of fact, he was up on the housetop to pray. And he was very hungry and would have eaten. But it said that while they made ready, he was waiting for supper, he fell into a trance. And God gave him this vision. The point being that this whole journey on the part of the Apostle Peter to go to the house of Cornelius was not something that he devised. It wasn't according to one of his plans or schemes. This was God's work in its entirety. God had prepared one man and his family to receive the gospel, and now he's preparing another to carry the gospel to them. You know, that's always a beautiful situation. You can't help but have a good time when the Lord's working on both ends of the line. He's prepared one heart with a sincere desire, with a hunger and thirst for the truth, and he's enlightened one to preach that truth and burdens his heart to go. Well, Peter was very hesitant about it. He certainly wasn't very fond of Gentiles. I mean, you got to understand, there was a tremendous barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews felt that the Gentiles were nobody. They were not a people. They never envisioned having fellowship with them and including them in the church. This was just foreign to their thinking. And so Peter just felt like he couldn't go. He didn't particularly like these people. There were great differences. There was a racial barrier. There were religious barriers. There were a lot of things that stood in the way. But you know, Peter decided that if the Lord was in this matter, if God said, "I have cleansed these people," it's not a very good idea for me to stay here and refuse to go. And so he went. And you know the story of how God mightily worked. So the circulation of the gospel was taking place under the direction of the Holy Spirit, not according to some plan or scheme that man himself was working, but according to God's work. Well, you can see the very same thing in Acts chapter 9, when Saul of Tarsus had been struck down on the road to Damascus, and there was great concern, of course, on the part of the Lord's people about this man. He had consented to the death of many. They saw him as a fierce enemy. And so when the Lord speaks to Ananias and tells him to carry the message to him, he's concerned. Verse 10 of Acts chapter 9, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." The Lord gives instruction to go to a particular street, to a particular house, and ask for a particular man. "And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. You see, Saul of Tarsus didn't look like a likely candidate as far as Ananias was concerned. If he was going to pick out somebody to minister to, if he was going to go tell somebody about the Lord, Saul wasn't going to be on his list. But this is such a marvelous display of the amazing grace of God. Nobody would have imagined that Saul of Tarsus was going to be hungry to hear the gospel. Nobody would have imagined that Saul of Tarsus was going to be on his knees crying, Who art thou, Lord? Nobody would have imagined that Saul of Tarsus was going to become the mighty Apostle Paul. But when God is at work, great things happen far beyond what men might imagine. And so in verse 15, the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He's a chosen vessel. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. God works in a way that we just wouldn't imagine. We would never have laid out the plan. But God does it that way so that his name is honored. Well, as the Lord reassures Ananias, he becomes satisfied about the matter. And verse 17 says that Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hast sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Isn't that marvelous? Oh, how great a God we have. What a wonderful salvation in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so in each of these cases, we see clearly that the Holy Spirit of God was guiding his servants to carry the gospel message where there were people ready to receive it. So we then see that there were those that did, in fact, rejoice in the message. They delighted in it. They received it, just as Paul did here in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. And that same thing happened when Peter finally arrived at the house of Cornelius. Reluctant though he was, he did go. And it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 47, after he had preached, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Well, Peter would never have envisioned this on his own. He would never have suspected that the place where the gospel ought to be preached was in the house of this Gentile. But God was working. And so when he arrives there, he said, I perceive that God's no respecter of persons, but out of every nation under heaven, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Obviously, God has already done a work in this man's heart, and I'm here to bring him the good news and to fill him in on the details of what's involved in God's grace given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the words of our text in Acts chapter 16 record this request, come over and help us. Well, what happened when Paul says, immediately we endeavored to go? Why? Because we're gathering that the Lord has called us for to preach the gospel to them. And that's good reason for going any place, any time. If the Lord has called a man to go, he ought to go. Not appropriate for him to sit around making excuses. I remember a man came to me many years ago, and he wanted to speak to our congregation and said, I've been working for several years trying to raise money to go preach in a distant country. And he said, it's just terrible because the burden is so heavy. The Lord wants me over there. The Lord called me. I think it was like 4 years ago, he said, and I've never been able to get up the funds to go. I said, brother, let me tell you something. That's a terrible tale to be out telling on the Lord. I believe that if the Lord wanted you there, he'd make the way, and you ought to pack your bags and go and stand wait on a boat to carry you. Listen, the Lord will provide for you. If the Lord's in the matter, the way is going to be made. And these servants of God didn't hesitate. They went, and God blessed them in the process. Well, in Acts chapter 16, we would expect now, of course, that having received this vision and the man saying, come over and help us, that immediately upon entrance into that land that there would just be a great outpouring of spiritual blessings and multitudes would receive the message. Well, he did have a positive experience when he went down where prayer was wont to be made, to the riverside where these women came and gathered. And here it says in verse 14 that a certain woman named Lydia, the seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us. Well, now this is very positive. Goes over there, and Lydia and her household received the gospel message. But then there's a turn in what appears to be a negative direction, because now Paul cast an evil spirit out of a young woman and as a result is put in prison. So here Paul and Silas going on a preaching trip, now locked up in jail. Well, somebody would say, you can just mark it down, the Lord wasn't in that trip. Listen, if God's in it, you're going to have smooth sailing. There's not going to be any problems. Certainly not going to be a preacher in jail if God's in it. Oh, but God was in it. There was somebody there that needed the message that Paul would have missed if he'd been going door to door, but the jailer needed it. And so at midnight, as they sang praises to God and prayed, and the prison was shaken, and the man came in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Don't you know that must have frustrated those people that put these men in jail? How are we going to squelch this thing? How are we going to hold down these that are preaching the gospel? Put them in jail, and by morning they've baptized the jailer. Oh, how great it is to see the working of God's Holy Spirit. So there were those ready to receive the message. But there's another thing to be observed about these labors. There was also opposition. Usually that was the case. Now, there were some places they went where people did not receive the message at all. And the Lord had told them that if you come to a city and they don't hear you, shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. That didn't mean they weren't supposed to have gone there, but it meant they weren't supposed to stay when nobody received the message. But even in places where there were those receiving it, there was often much opposition, and that's to be expected. The more closely someone is following the Lord, the more you can anticipate that there is going to be opposition. And so in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, and verse 1 says this, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now, there's the positive side of it. A great multitude believed. That's good. We're rejoicing in this. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Here comes the opposition. Opposition from the world. Opposition from religious leaders. Opposition wherever Paul went. That man, oh, how faithfully he served. What he endured. He said, I'm willing to spend and be spent. And he did spend his entire life, all that he was, all of his resources, all of his talents and abilities, he spent it in the service of God. He was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he had all kinds of hardships, but he didn't quit. He just kept going, preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He wanted to lift up the wonderful name of Jesus. Paul wasn't out there with the idea that he had to make God a success. He's the man that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote the 9th chapter of the book of Romans and made it clear that God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. He's the one that made it so clear that salvation is all of the Lord. But that didn't slow him down as far as his zeal in preaching. I've heard people say, well, if I believe that salvation is all of the Lord, I'd just quit preaching. Not Paul. He said, I believe salvation to the Lord, and that just makes me rev up the engines. I want to get out there and preach it more and more because I believe it's worthwhile. I believe it's going to bring glory to the Savior. I believe it's going to bring comfort and help to the distressed sinner that needs to hear it. I believe there's going to be great benefit in it. So I'm laboring, and I'm preaching it. Well, not only was there opposition from without and difficulties and hindrances wherever they turned. There was even apprehension within the church. You know, when Peter got ready to go over there and bring the message to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, Peter wasn't the only one that didn't care for Gentiles. The rest of the brethren didn't care so much for them either. And Peter anticipated that there would be some criticism, and so he took some brethren with him that they might be able to observe what transpired. Well, sure enough, when he came back from this trip to the house of Cornelius, he had no more than hit the city limits till some of the brethren come to him and began to question it. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. His Jewish brethren said, "Wait a minute, Peter, what is this? Saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. This is unheard of. What are you thinking about, brother? Why did you do this?" But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, and then he gives all the details of what had happened, making it clear, "Brethren, I was on the top of the house. I was waiting supper, and as I prayed, I fell into a trance, and I saw this great vision, and the Lord let down that sheet three times and said, thou shalt not call that which is common or unclean that which God hath cleansed, and I became convinced God was in the matter, and I went. And when I got over there and preached, I found that he feared God and worked righteousness, and the Holy Ghost fell on them as he did on us in the beginning." He relates the whole thing. Well, then what was the response when the brethren heard how God had worked? Verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That's wonderful when the Lord's people, who sometimes have apprehension and concerns, and when they can see God's hand and see God's work, then becoming reconciled and saying, I praise God for it. They held their peace then and glorified God. Our text says, come over and help us. I believe that just as there were those in the days of the early church that were touched by God's Holy Spirit and consequently had heavy, burdened hearts, desiring to know more about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are multitudes today. The fields are white unto harvest. May we pray that God will send forth the laborers and that God will bless those laborers as they go and give them the boldness and courage that those who say, come over and help us, may find help, may find the good news of the gospel of grace to be comforting to their own hearts, and in it all, the name of our Savior Jesus Christ will be magnified.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of...
Jesus taught his disciples to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. May that be our prayer today. And may we pray for those laborers that are being sent, that the Lord will prosper their efforts. As the Macedonian call comes, may we be faithful in proclaiming the gospel of God's grace, the message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even as the hymn writer says in the words of our theme, surely we would all desire a thousand tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise, to be praising him wherever we are in every opportunity. Be sure to write us this week. And until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.